welcome in now. Jason Whitlock, outkick.com. Jason, how are you, and thanks for the time.
Hey, great. Good to be here.
So why'd you decide to join Outkick and partner with Clay Travis?
Well, I think I reached the conclusion the best place for me to maximize my freedom of speech and maximize my financial gain or benefit was at Outkick and partner with Clay Travis and participating in the building of my own media platform. I think when you look around at what Joe Rogan has done in the podcast industry, Bill Simmons in the podcast and writing industry, Dave Portnoy with Barstool Sports with writing and podcasting, it's the guys that have the courage to go out and build their own things that are having the biggest impact. And I just think where the mainstream media is gone and corporate media is gone, it's a lot harder to be your authentic self on those platforms. And so I just felt like the best opportunity for me was in taking that chance of going out and building my own thing.
I enjoy what you guys are doing at Outkick.com, that's for sure. Good stuff.
Appreciate it.
What did you think of the MLS prior to Orlando Inter in Miami match on Wednesday night?
I'm sorry, say that again?
What did you think of the MLS pregame prior to Orlando Inter in Miami match on Wednesday night?
You're going to have to refresh me. You're talking about the MLS soccer league?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Yeah, we can skip it. It's fine. So Malcolm Jenkins today made a post on his Instagram responding to DeSean Jackson, et cetera. Did you read that?
Of course, yeah.
What'd you make of it?
I think that Malcolm Jenkins misspoke and it's just out over his skis. I think a lot of these professional athletes are just way out over their skis trying to enter into this political arena where words need to be so precise. And, I think he probably intended to say one thing in terms of, look, as black people, Jewish people aren't creating problems for us. And then he wanted to say, and we're not creating problems for them, I think is what he wanted to say. But it comes off different than the way he wrote it. And I can understand why some people took offense and took it as him saying, hey, look, we're not concerned about their problems. They're not concerned about our problems. We need to get back and be focused on our own problems. It's just these guys are all auditioning for their post-career careers. And look, I'm not a shut-up-and-dribble guy. I'm more of a shut-up-and-talk-about-things-you-really-know-about guys. And most of these guys don't know what the hell they're talking about. And they're way outside their area of expertise and lane. But it's great for their social media brand. It's great for them to help build themselves as influencers. It got Malcolm Jenkins a job on CNN as a part-time commentator and put some extra money in his pocket and sends him along the path of, you know, as soon as his NFL career is over, he'll be talking on TV for millions of dollars.
I'm sure you saw the exchange between Josh Hawley, the senator out of Missouri, and his tweet to the NBA about social causes and their statements on uniforms. And he raises the question of why can't they put support our troops or back the blue or NBA as much money as the NBA makes on China, free Hong Kong. And then Adrian Wojnarowski fired back in an email. What should happen to Adrian Wojnarowski?
What should happen to Adrian Wojnarowski is he's got a lot of value for ESPN. So I can't imagine they would cut bait with him. And it's not the right thing to do. We do know now, had he fired this off to probably a Democrat politician, the repercussions would probably be worse. And I don't say that as a political partisan. I'm just speaking factually. But I think ESPN, a suspension's appropriate of some sort, 2 weeks, a month, whatever, just because I don't think you can – he's put ESPN in a bad spot. They've been working very hard to try to distance themselves from the narrative that they have politically chosen aside. And I think Adrian's email back, the FU email back, paints a pretty clear picture that he has certainly chosen a side, and he has such a big brand with ESPN that they just can't have that. They can't have high-profile people making these types of disparaging comments to anybody, to any of their customers, let alone a U.S. senator. He's put ESPN in a terribly bad position, and that's why I think a suspension is warranted. I would not. He's been too valuable for him, and everybody gets to make a mistake. He's made a big one here, but he should certainly keep his job.
Do you think that Senator Hawley is asking fairly of the NBA about support our troops and back the blue, et cetera, other social causes?
I think it's a legitimate question. I think the NBA and their players and a lot of professional athletes have gone so overboard with criticism of America that the actual courageous thing is to actually support America. And I think it's a fair question of him to ask of, hey, is it legal? Can anyone support America? Can they show signs of support and admiration, respect for America? That's what professional sports used to be about. I think it's a fair question. I think it's fair to explore the NBA's relationship with China, ESPN's relationship with China. We got to remember that Adrian Wojnarowski, I think, before the Daryl Morey controversy a year and a half ago about China, I think he was in line to do a television show that would be broadcast in China that was going to put, you know, a significant amount of money in his pockets. And I think we need questions asked about that. Is that what this is about? Is that where Adrian Wojnarowski is coming from? Is he trying to protect money he perhaps has tied up in China? But, yeah, I think everything that Josh Hawley's asking is a fair and legitimate question. And, you know, the NBA should have to answer for it. And it really shouldn't take a U.S. senator asking those questions. I think those of us in the media should be asking those questions of the NBA.
Jason Whitlock, Outkick.com. And do you think we're going to have college football this season, Jason?
Maybe the SEC, and that's about it. Let me answer, because I don't know. That's speculation on my part. But here's what – I'm not sure if I was a coach, if I would want to have a season. And I say that because the rules of engagement are so blurred right now in terms of the relationship between the coaches and the athletes that they coach. You have all these athletes looking for social media fame, looking to call a coach out. Oh, my God, a coach called me a name. He said this. He didn't ask about my mom. He didn't, you know, he wore the wrong T-shirt. He has the wrong political views. I would be scared as hell to coach any of these kids right now, because anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of public Twitter. And if I was a coach, I'd want to punt and wait until, you know, 2021, when we've got this thing better figured out and I know what I can and can't say to kids, how I can coach them. I think the COVID thing puts all these schools in a vulnerable position. If a coach asks a kid to practice when he says, oh, I got a little bit of a fever, I got a runny nose, and then suppose this kid has COVID and next thing you know, you weren't protecting my health and there's potential lawsuits. I'm not sure if playing this year is the right thing to do long term.
Jason, you mentioned Twitter. It's amazing that 10% of the Twitter users drive 80% of the traffic. That's incredible.
It's what, look, man, 3% of the population is driving 90% of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about things that most people just aren't interested in, and who gets to go to what bathroom, and, you know, if I feel I'm this sex but I was born this way, I get to go to this bathroom or that bathroom. I'm not sure, and I'm sure that's an issue for some people, and I respect that, but the level of conversation we're having about it is just amazing. And I think Twitter's outside influence, oversized influence over the American media is driving a lot of the discord, polarization and division in this country. Twitter is a place where, you know, be racially polarizing, demonize one group of people, particularly, you know, quite frankly, demonize white men. That's a way to build a following over Twitter. And it's become toxic throughout the rest of our culture because the mainstream media keeps following the lead of social media and Twitter.
Jason, can you figure out what the NFL was thinking when they proposed after games, after these guys have been banging on each other for 60 minutes? You can't do a handshake. You can't exchange jerseys. And, oh, by the way, if you sit on the bench, you have to wear a mask. But if you're standing up, you don't have a mask. What sense does that make at all?
They're just making it up as they go. And I can't even criticize them for this at this point just because I think everybody's making it up as we go, from Dr. Fauci on down. And I'm not even criticizing Dr. Fauci. I'm just saying this thing is so new. We don't know how to respond to it. The media has told everybody to be scared as hell. If you touch a piece of concrete that had COVID, that someone with COVID had walked on that piece of concrete, you can get COVID. COVID leaps tall buildings at a single bound and will jump down your throat from across the stadium over two cars with a trampoline and just, you know, kill anybody. The media has told us that Twitter's the, you know, it's a nuclear bomb. And maybe it is, but I'll just say this. We've seen nuclear bombs dropped, and humans are pretty resourceful and survive and march on and rebuild societies and civilizations. And I just think at some point we're going to have to accept there's going to be some consequences to COVID. But we can't shut down life and the world, because shutting down this economy, shutting down 45 million Americans from working creates a level of poverty that's more deadly than the COVID disease.
Jason Whitlock, Outkick.com. One more thing. What concerns do you have regarding schools like your alma mater, Ball State and others in the mid-major FBS and teams outside the Power Five if there's no football?
Very concerned about all the sports at Ball State and in other mid-majors in terms of what's going to get shut down. Any and all of it is a possibility. I'm very concerned. Concerned about the coaches, the kids without the structure and the direction of football. And I don't mind, as a Devils Play fan, I feel bad for all of these young people in and out of sports, all the way from grade school, all the way through college. They've been sitting at home, nothing to do, nothing to occupy their mind. I remember, and it was a long time ago, I remember being a kid. You couldn't keep me inside. You couldn't keep me away from my friends and mischief. This is a terrible 5-month existence for young people, and if it goes on for another 5 months, I think it's going to have serious repercussions on a generation of young people.
Jason Whitlock, keep doing great things at Outkick.com, and you and Clay, thanks.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you for the time.